Is it off? Nope, it's on. Go ahead.
To gather disciples for Jesus, to find who's willing to go and to find who's not.
He said that what Jesus meant by that I will make you greater fishermen is that, tell me if I'm right, okay? That he's going to send his disciples out to find more disciples who are willing to follow Jesus. I'm done. Yeah, he's like, yeah. It's time for my vacation. Yes. And so Deborah, Gabe will be covering the pulpit while I'm gone. I do. So one of the signs that we have in our Christian tradition is the sign of a fish. Okay? A sign of discipleship. And that's what you all are creating over here. You are creating masterpieces. Can I borrow one? That remind us that we are all disciples. Pretty cool, huh? So thank you for that. And thank you for your words of wisdom, I think. I don't know why I keep going to that table. Boy, when we hear about discipleship from the kids, it's easy, right? Because they just say it like it is, and they make it sound so good and so inviting. We just can't wait to get out there and be disciples, right? Raise your hand if that sounds good to you. Woo-hoo! Liars. No. Oh, what a week. I say that every week anymore, don't I? What a week. Catherine Matthews is a UCC minister, and she is the dean of the Amistad Chapel in Cleveland, where our mothership, our UCC mothership, is located. She offers this paragraph. What is the church to be about? In today's gospel message from Matthew, we learn that the church is to be about healing, teaching, and proclaiming the good news. And the church is to be about movement, not static, stay at home, preserve our level of comfort, and let them come to us, spirituality. It is to be a bold going out into the world that God loves so passionately, sharing what God has given us with those who have not yet heard God speaking to them, or felt the touch of God's love upon their lives, or have not known how to name either one. That's beautiful, right? Man, I thought you were coming up to take it away. Thank you. Comic relief is good, because this is it's a tough time. I've changed the focus of this sermon how many times this week, do you think? Close. Four. I had one focus, which was that of discipleship, which, interestingly enough, we will come around to full circle. There was a shooting on Wednesday that you may have heard about. Actually, there were four that made the news, but we were interested in one. The one we heard most about was that our members of government were being attacked in Arlington, yes? While they practiced for a charity softball game, of all things. I have to admit that I had some mixed thoughts and feelings about this. Obviously, it was horrible and tragic. But my thought process went something like this. Oh, no, not again. I hope everyone's okay. When will this stop? Who was the shooter? Why did they do this? Why does this keep happening? Anybody else kind of go through that litany of thoughts? But I also had some other responses that I found myself pinned when I had a moment to the TV or radio, or at least checking in on the internet every once in a while. And I have to admit that I had a hardening of heart as I listened. Because you see, some of those who were targeted were those who had political records of extreme racism. There were those in office who were associated with David Duke and his ilk, and just recently had met with him at a conference. They also had extensive records for voting for anti-queer legislation and are in the process of doing so right now, and have historically voted for cuts in programs or taxes, which inevitably benefit those who make more money than God, and whose legislation makes the existence for those left in the wake extreme suffering. It was one of those moments where I was reminded of Reverend Benjamin Broadmet, who used to be the lead pastor at First Congregational, but he was the associate at the time after 9/11, who started his sermon after his condolences with, "Well, what did we expect? Really?" Giving extensive mention to how U.S. policies and attitudes often leave our global neighbors in places of rage and desperation. But let's face it, that's a totally different sermon. What is the church to be about? The church is to be about movement, not static, stay at home, preserve our level of comfort, and let them come to us spirituality, but a bold going out into the world that God loves so passionately, sharing what God has given us with those who have not yet heard God speaking to them, or felt the touch of God's love upon their lives, or have not known how to name either one. Now, to be clear, and I think most of you know this about me, I do not condone or encourage violence or vengeance. But I do understand the concept of desperation, and I would be lying if I didn't admit that while not wanting violence, I asked some of the same questions. Well, what did you expect? This can be a really dark place to go, and while I wouldn't want to stay there, I admit it's hard to get out of. But sometimes it's hard to let go of the anger of injustice when it seems to be all around us, don't you think? It seems to be easier to rejoice in what appears to be legitimate street justice when we notice time and time and time again our justice system failing. We see it failing with racial injustice, when yet another life of a black man, Philando Castile, shot by police, is reduced as his murderer goes free. We see it time and time again when those who are in need desperately lose any assistance that they may receive while they are working two and three jobs. It is so difficult sometimes to stay focused on not wanting street justice, the idea that if you don't take care of it, I'm going to take care of it myself. There are times when an eye for an eye truly seems to be the only way to gain a foothold on peace and justice. It's so difficult to stay on track, to stay focused on the gospel and on the teaching of our beloved teacher when it all seems to be in vain. Yes, Claire needs a vacation. To be clear, we need to ask the question, what did you expect? But more accurately, why in the world did this happen in the first place? What is going on in this world that so many feel that this is the only way to react? How on earth do we answer the call to be the church, to follow the gospel, when it all seems in vain? What is the church to be about? It is to be about movement, not static, stay at home, God. Preserve our level of comfort and let them come to us spirituality, but a bold going out into the world that God loves so passionately, sharing what God has given us with those who have not yet heard God speaking to them or felt the touch of God's love upon their lives or have not known how to name either one. In 2004, a small group of radical hippie-type individuals who had been actively involved in the sanctuary movement during the 80s decided that our borders needed some assistance. No More Deaths, No Más Muertes was formed, And it was designed to help other border agencies such as Samaritans and Humane Borders assist migrants who were coming across the border and dying in the desert from thirst, hunger, and the need of medical attention. They work in Arizona, on the border of Arizona and Mexico. They work from Douglas to Nogales to Sasebo. In this past week, I found myself going to this dark place again because Border Patrol has hunkered down on no more deaths. Now, let me be very clear about this agency. This is a group who decided that they would partake in something called civil initiative. It's the difference between civil initiative and civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is you're actually breaking the law. Civil initiative is sort of you're bumping up against it, but not breaking it. And so there is a camp in Aravaca, Arizona. It's private property. And in that camp, there is a kitchen and tents and a medical tent, which allows migrants to come in and receive the care that they need so that they can go about their business. Now, over the years, No More Deaths have had a very semi-decent working relationship with Border Patrol, understanding that there is a law, a federal law, that does not allow any agency to interfere with humanitarian assistance. If someone came in, you could not transport them, that would be illegal, but you could provide them care. And in the past week, what has happened is up to 20 armed vehicles, Border Patrol agents, and helicopters have descended on this camp demanding that anybody that be in that camp receiving care be turned over to them immediately, regardless of their condition. This is an aberration, pure and simple. But here, in the midst of this darkness, of this one more example this week of how things seem to be deteriorating, I was reminded of the time that I spent in that space at No More Deaths, in the desert when it was 120 degrees, and people would go out and meet those that they had never met before to provide simple care in the hope that they would make it through on their journey. People kept coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and every summer it's the same. Hot summers in the desert, people crossing the desert in need of care, others showing up to care for them. Nobody worried tremendously about outcome, but only the immediacy of meeting folks where they are and providing for their needs in that space and time. This is a juxtaposition between the sense that what we do and what we say may seem to be in vain in the midst of all the chaos that is going on in the world. But the bottom line is, as long as we get out and meet people where they are, providing for their immediate care in a specific space and time, both are transformed. And who knows what will happen down the street, down the road. 2 weeks ago at Citizens Project, the director of Colorado Health Partners got up and said, "Who cares what the outcome is? Just go do something. Go do something. Meet people where they are. If you have a plan, if you have an idea, then do it. Because regardless of outcome, you will have changed something in the world, and your work will never have been in vain." To be clear, the author of Matthew, as sending out the disciples, is not painting some beautiful utopia of go out, visit with folks. If they don't want you there, leave. Go to the next one. No. The "we don't want you here" means we're going to beat the crap out of you if we don't like you. But go anyway. You may or may not have influence on those you meet, but do it anyway. Go out and touch those lives. Touch those people, invite them in, meet them where they are, share your spirituality, and then go on to the next place and see what happens. And if you're wondering if any of that sending out has been in vain, well, let me remind you that that was 2,000 years ago, and we're here right now saying the exact same thing. Not because things haven't gotten better, but because there have been transformative experiences that go with going out and not being afraid and meeting people where they are and staying in that space of compassion and justice and mercy, even when things seem like they're not getting better. Clearly something has happened, or we wouldn't be here right now, would we? And so as things begin to look and continue to look like perhaps they'll never get better, just remember, we are in good company, people. That as long as we meet that call to discipleship and that we get up and we meet people where they are, things happen. And again, Catherine Matthews asks this question, how do we know that this is what the church is about? Well, to find the answer, we look, as always, to Jesus and what he was about. Matthew reminds us once again that Jesus didn't sit still. He traveled about, curing and teaching and healing. And when he saw hunger and need and confusion in the crowds, he felt profound compassion for them. He was both moved and he moved. We are to see the need of the world, its hungers and its confusion. And like Jesus, we are called to respond with compassion and tender care. And it also seems, everyone, that we are called not to sit still, but like Jesus, we are called to be on the move, open to those we meet along the way, regardless of where they come from. The question then isn't so much, what did you expect? But what should you expect? And based on our faith and our convictions of Christians, what should we expect can only happen if we go out and make it happen. And so therefore, we are called to discipleship and we are called to go out and make what we expect to happen. And we are called to go with justice and we are called to go with compassion. And mostly, we are called to go with love. Let the people say.